Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
As I said earlier today, I'd be interviewing Steve Quayle regarding the principalities of darkness, the fallen angels, the giants, the Nephilim. And we've done a bunch already today. Just to briefly recap, we've done principalities of darkness, mysterious origins of the Space Command, Office of Naval Intelligence, revelations regarding alien infiltrations, Anunnaki and Putin. That was a surprising one to me. And of course, we talked about the planet Astra. And I'll tell you, we got some really wild feedback on that one. And I said this interview was coming. We are primarily a geopolitical current events military history channel. This is normally what we cover, although you know we've gone into this realm. But I've come to the conclusion that you can't understand what we're fighting against in the three-dimensional physical realm without looking at the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is beginning to intersect with the physical realm. And a pastor of a church I attend a lot, Mark Driscoll, has been talking about exactly the same thing. And you know I've been publishing his sermons up on thecommonsenseshow.com. But we have Steve Quayle with us. Before we join Steve, I want to let you know we're brought to you by preparewithdave.com. Best storable food company in the world, 47% off the two-week emergency kit. Go to preparewithdave.com. We're brought to you by Virtual Shield. Protect your online experience. You don't know who's going to be in charge of the government in a year. You don't want to fall victim to a social credit system. You need to obscure where you go on the net. Virtual Shield can take care of that with 30% off for a 30-day free trial. Go to hidewithdave.com. That's hidewithdave.com. And we're also brought to you by the Branson Conference, Gen 6, True Legends. And I have to say, my wife's kicking me out of the house. Well, we're going to actually be in a condo in California for our family reunion vacation. And she's kicking me out 3 days early so I can go attend the Branson Conference. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we've had that discussion, and I was having some, let's say, husbandly remorse about even bringing it up. And she says, no, no, you need to go. You need to go. So I'll be attending that. We're going to have Steve talk about that. Steve, welcome aboard, my friend. Tell everyone about Branson before we get started today on these principalities of darkness.
Well, thank you, Dave, and I'm glad you're going, because the last time I heard you weren't, Dale, and it's going to be good to have you there, because I think it's going to be critical, because we're going to be talking about the ancient cataclysms and astral catastrophism, and why all the ancients were worried about what was happening on in the sky and going on in the sky, and it's going to be a very, very interesting conference, in that it's so pertinent, because now we have all the talk of asteroids, and as you know from your contacts, and as I've been claiming from my contacts and guys with enough PhDs that they qualify for having earned those degrees, their earned degrees, the bottom line is that they're arguing amongst themselves which ones and which ones aren't of the asteroids, which ones of those are under intelligent control and design. Now that may seem strange, but Hollywood has echoed those sentiments for a long time. And so when we're going to talk at Branson, I mean, Genesis 6 is going to be a powerful, powerful thing. So True Legends is happening this July 10th through 12th. We moved it up, Branson, Missouri. It's called Ancient Cataclysms and the Coming Catastrophes, the Pre-Adamic Era and the Return of the Days of Noah. I'm going to have some speakers that have never been at any of mine before. We're going to have Gary Wayne, Carl Tigrip. We're going to have Celeste Holland. We're going to have Bob Griswold Darren Geisinger talking about Sunday. They're going to be talking about stuff that people need to consider, because I'm of the opinion, Dave, that after July, especially September, October, it's going to be a health fest as we enter into the time prior to the November situation. You can expect total chaos in this country. But again, now all of the events that are taking place globally, from the earthquakes to volcanoes, for instance, Popo went off on my website today. I put up an amazing time lapse. The volcanoes of the earth are going off. We've got global cooling. We've got food issues, especially with global famine. We've got what you've been told by your ONI source and your different people over the years. We have a war going on in the heavens that even the Bible describes, and it describes it in great detail in Ephesians chapter 6, and it literally talks about we fight against the unseen forces of darkness who in the book of Revelation become visible on the earth and take and make war on the saints. So the thing is that this is July 10th through 12th. People can go to gen6.com. We have only another week left of the special pricing on the registration. Is normally $130. It's $110 if you move today. And another thing that's really important, I want people to have the good background on true legends, because a lot of the speakers, we're going to be talking about stuff that's going to be so far in the ancient past that now all of the hidden things, it's been my contention that the words of Jesus when he said there's nothing that's been hidden that isn't going to be revealed, we're going to see some of the most phenomenal revelations that already are of what the past was. And why the past is so important is because King Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So people need to go to gen6.com. If they pre-order the 2020 DVD set, they get the True Legend package, which is $50 free, and they get all three of the episodes of True Legends. And I think it will be, again, so time-critically important for people who can't attend to attend, for the people that want to pre-order the DVDs, and obviously at some point we'll open it up to live streaming, because last year we had live streaming in all the years, but it's building now. People want answers, and I guess when you have made the transition that you've made, you just gave the introduction, it's a pretty unusual time to start out with geopolitical events. Obviously, all the financial stuff we've covered, the movement of the Chinese, the Russians, all the plans for Red Dawn, American Civil War, and that's just the beginning. And then for people to have to try and embrace the fact that the control of all the alien information, the control of aliens amongst us, fallen angels, I want to make it clear, fallen angels can manifest themselves in human form. We saw that even with righteous angels that took on human form when they went and camped in with Abraham the day actually before they were going to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So the thing is that you and I spoke yesterday that the rulers of this present darkness aren't just the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, who, by the way, all of them are avowed occultists, but the unseen puppet masters are literally the fallen angels. And Satan is the god of this world, little g. He absolutely tempted Jesus until after the resurrection. He couldn't tempt him after that, but prior to the resurrection, mankind had forfeited the control and the dominion that God had given him at the initial creation. So the thing is that we've got a war coming, and it's already going on, Dave. It's going on beyond the stars. It's going on Mars. It's going on literally throughout the universe, and we're getting set. As you know, you've been warned by your people, and I don't know what you said, so you fill in the blanks here, but a Space Command is a joke as far as just initiating it. It's been pretty much set in a force since Majestic.
That's an interesting.
12 was introduced, you know, and so Majestic 12, the ultimate control of the scene government to oversee the military and to handle the whole alien issue. The very first Secretary of Defense, Forrestal, was murdered because he wanted to come forth and tell people what was really going on, especially Admiral Byrd's story. And so anyway, we're at this point now in 2020. The Vatican has already announced that they would baptize aliens. One of the most sophisticated observatories in the world is on Mount Graham with the infrared telescope, which just happens to be called the Lucifer Telescope. And by the way, the Distant Thunders DVD was held up for 90 days about because the director, producer of that, I guess I'm the producer, but the director, writer of that, was literally threatened with his life on numerous occasions. He was harassed beyond anything, and it just about put him over the edge, Dave. That's not an exaggeration. That's not a metaphor. He's been on Doug Hagman twice, and he's held back. And just, again, they just terrified him again 2 weeks ago. What they were afraid of was the technology that Gary was going to reveal that was given to him in great detail by a two-time nominated Nobel physicist, a very, very bright guy. The American Physics Journal carried the story. It's on what's called the Santilli Iso-Dual Telescope. And what it enabled through a electro-optical configuration was the ability to see that literally energy forms. Everything in the universe gives off energy that are invisible to the naked eye. Well, obviously, that threatens some people. The last thing Lucifer's people want is the pre-disclosure of them and their desires before their time. The Vatican will spin that these are the gods that created us, the ancient aliens, every single, if you will, science fiction movie from probably before that, even from Metropolis, where there was robots and, if you will, the occult symbol over Fritz Lang's infamous movie, you can begin to see how we've all been conditioned to accept this. And now I guess it's a good point for you to enter in and just tell Dave, if I were to say to you, and I would, and I'll say it right now, what is the most mind-blowing stuff that has registered with you in the last, let's say, 96 hours or longer, but the stuff that the people that you're talking to, what has it been?
Well, it has to do with the fact that Lucifer can appear as an angel of light, and in that light, Office of Naval Intelligence personnel have told me they believe that the Space Command for a long time has been infiltrated by fallen angels appearing to be humans for very Luciferian purposes. That shocked me. I called you last night about it. It just blew me away that I have three senior level intelligence officers telling me the same story.
And they are not known to each other, correct?
They do know each other. They all know each other. Yes, they do.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Well, yours aren't known to mine, vice versa. The thing is that I think it's imperative to understand that a third of the angels in heaven fell. They rebelled with Lucifer, who became Satan. There are people that will argue with that. They can argue all the day long. But there's a formula in physics that basically is called Bode's Law. If you take the distance between planets, there is a mathematical genius that only God could have created the solar system with that postulates a planet between Mars and Jupiter. That planet was known as Astra, A-S-T-R-A. And it was also known as the planet Rahab. Rahab obviously was a whore, a prostitute in the Old Testament. But when it's dealing with the, if you will, astral, A-S-T-R-A-L, catastrophic nature of the universe, it's considered a rogue. And where the asteroid belt is, that was a previous planet. And in the book that I'm putting out, I didn't write it. I wrote the, if you will, a new introduction preface. I had the permission of the family that owns the rights and the secondary writer to put it out. It's called The Mars Earth Wars and Destruction of Lucifer's Planet. And that'll be up on my website to pre-order. They're at the printer. They're shipping. We'll be shipping them the first week of February. And these, by the way, are really there, and it's really important.
Yeah.
So the thing is that when you get into all of the technology, the advanced technology, the majestic level stuff, stuff that's ancient, you know, for instance, most people don't understand that India has a history that goes back 30,000 years. The Sumerians have a table of kings that precedes the great cataclysm of Noah's flood, and we would call that the pre-Adamic era. And the thing that's important is that I think when you see the Indians from, you know, India, the legends they have and the myths, but they actually have, Dave, instructions on how to build the Vimanas, the ancient Indian flying machines that are basically detailed in such amazing detail. It tells how to build them. And they literally have the instruction manuals for how to build them, how to fuel them, and how to fly them. And that was obviously the basis of Oppenheimer, one of the most famous physicists who was involved in the atom bomb. He quotes the Mahabharata when he says, "I have become the destroyer of worlds."
Yes.
So the thing that is important for people, that's a direct relationship to the world that was, that First Peter talks about, versus the world that is. And in Christendom, there's been an ongoing battle to try and put into disrepute, or ill repute, that's a better word, that's the right word, the whole pre-Adamic era. I personally, as a Bible-believing researcher, writer, follower of Jesus, I believe that the gap theory can be reconciled with the New Earth people. The New Earth people simply believe that the Earth is only 6,000 years old. Well, it was recreated, and I sent you the background documentation.
Yes.
For some of the smartest scholars in the world, talking about God did not create the earth initially without form and void, tohu and bohu, but it was originally, it was paradise, even prior to the destruction, because we get into Genesis 1:1-1:2, the biggest fight in Christian, I guess you'd say, theological circles is that if they deal with the pre-Adamic civilization that God judged, that was all the golden age, the mythical and legendary places of Atlantis, of Lemuria, of Hyperborea, of Shangri-La, of Shambhala, of the Yongguni civilization, even Zealandia. You know, they've come to the conclusion now that New Zealand, those are just the tops of the mountain peaks of a supercontinent called Zealandia. And so all of this stuff figures in, and this is why Branson is so important this year, because it's not only to know where we're headed, and I don't see a very good future right now, but what's really critically important is the fact that the greatest church in the history of the world in special operations and in all of the governments of the world is to go out and find the ancient technology, the ancient weaponry, the hidden gene structure of the giants, and you know, I've said this on your show years ago.
Yes.
But the whole human genome project was not to find the human genome. It was to find the genome of the giants or the Rephaim.
Were they looking for mutant genes in humans of the giants and the Rephaim?
Yes. Yes. Because, again, they want super soldiers. And I sent you Isaiah 13, verse 3 in the Septuagint, the oldest, you know, Greek version of the Old Testament. The thing that's interesting is it says giants are coming. Behold, I send them to fulfill my wrath. You know, obviously, as one of the lead guys, and I can honestly say that when I started this, I'm the one that brought all this stuff of giants to the forefront, not only through talk radio, but through my first books. And so the thing that's important is to understand we're in a realm that Jesus literally spoke about, men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. Most of us just think, oh, that's World War III, or it's plague, or it's famine. Yes, it's all those things. But it's also the ancient evil that had been bound that is now being released through Stargate and through advanced technology.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're saying exactly what I'm being told by my ONI sources. They talked about, too, that Stargate and CERN is bringing in evil entities into this three-dimensional reality. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, and that's been the basis when the invisible becomes visible and the things of men's nightmares will no longer stay in the nightmares, but they'll begin to manifest and materialize before them. Look, I have a largely Christian audience, as you do too, and not everybody obviously is a Christian, but the point is I'm hearing from Christian and non-Christian alike supernatural encounters with everything from orbs to imps, okay? From aliens to I don't know what that Z would be, but the point is that we're seeing all strange mythological and legendary creatures. And this is due to the fact that God bound all that stuff for our benefit. And because mankind's been given dominion over the earth, and then they have forfeited that, it takes fallen humanity and rebellion against God to open the gates of hell. And that's whether you're using the particle physicist's creation, CERN, the relative, ionic collider, heavy ionic collider in the area of Geneva, or you're using the one that's in the Middle East of the Arab nations. Most people don't understand this. They're doing the same thing, only theirs is called sesame. And anyone familiar with, 1001 Arabian Nights knows that, Aladdin, and the Cave of Treasures, of the secret word was open sesame. I don't think the people that just read acronyms or, just think, oh, that sounds interesting, I don't think they realize or recognize that in a name is the intent and purpose.
That's just absolutely incredible. Steve, we had someone, one of our audience wrote to me and said, are you guys going to cover Nimrod? Do you have a position on Nimrod?
Yes. Well, sure. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and he began to become a Gibborim. I think that's the first, and Gibborim is giant. In essence, he was born one thing, but somehow through a mutagenic process, he became a Rephaim. And if you notice this, he was the builder of Babylon. He wanted to literally ascend into the heavens. And it's interesting because that word is unique. That word ascend is the same thing that Lucifer wanted to do. He wanted to be as God, and he wanted to set his throne amongst the stars. And so in essence, basically, Nimrod believed in his own strength and his own power and his own prowess and felt that he was God, or he was the equivalent of God. And so the answer to that question, I hope I'm answering it, is this, that Nimrod, through some mutagenic or transformational process, his DNA changed and he became, if you will, a Rephaim. Because the Bible in the Hebrew calls him a Gibborim, and the Gibborim is a specific tribe of giants.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. it's interesting. There's a high school team in Upper Peninsula, Michigan, and it's an athletic program, and their mascot is the Nimrods. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I got to tell you something. Yeah, Greg, here's something unusual. Greg Evenson taught in Stambo, the Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. I was born in Iron River, which is at the base. I was actually born in the hospital in the town that Greg Evenson taught high school in. So that was the mascot was. Obviously, I didn't stay there long enough. And so the thing is that I think that it's important. I'm sorry for whoever's buzzing, and I don't know which way to turn that off. But the thing that's important is that people understand that the giants are a part of American history. And this is why it's critical, again, it's a part of every history and every part of the world. Dave, I've been at this for 49 years. And ever since I got saved, I got into the giants. I was taught by a double PhD in electrical engineering at MSU. Brilliant man. He took all of the renegades out of film and television. That's what my major was. And we were, wild people. And as we accepted Jesus, he taught us the scriptures. But that's what actually cued my interest in this thing. So the thing is that the whole Genesis 6 giants thing is what became important to me, and I think it's critical that people understand that this is not some harebrained idea. And when people ask me, what does this have to do with Jesus' salvation, I want to make them understand something. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. The giants were Lucifer's attempt to impregnate the human race with, if you will, the demon seed, to make it impossible for Jesus to come through an unpolluted lineage from Adam. That's why Numbers goes into all the great detail of who begat, And I said, Lord, what is all this relevant for? And he simply spoke to my heart, Steve, to define the lineage that there was no pollution in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So in essence, Rephaim cannot be saved, okay? And the book of Enoch goes into that, and a lot of people, see, people have a hard time, Dave, with even doing their research, but anything that's uncomfortable, and boy, have you encountered this, anything that's uncomfortable that would upset their apple cart of, let's say temporary happiness or peace, they just go after it, and they attack, first of all, the messenger, then they attack the message, then they go into denial, and then they go into character assassination, and they want to get people to agree with them in their denial to make them feel good. Doesn't that sound about right?
Every day. Every day, Steve.
Yeah, every day. So where this is critical is this. The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Genesis 6 sets up the entire understanding of spiritual conflict, of where intelligence came from, of where all the hidden arts came from, the occult arts. It goes into great detail in the book of Enoch and some of the other pseudepigraphal work. Pseudepigraphal just means that it was written, but the form critics and text critics argue over who really wrote it. Well, I tell people this. I want to know the bottom line, and two people are fighting over who wrote what, but one of them's telling you the truth. I want to know who's telling me the truth. And again, back to Genesis 6:4, because you and I both know, and you asked me last night, and I think this is critical. People say, well, how could there be giants after the flood? Simple. Genesis 6:4 says there were giants in those days before the flood and after the flood and after those days when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. That's another word for saying having sex.
Yes.
And the thing about Noah's Ark, Noah was no moral imperative. Or let's just say that he wasn't saved because of his let's say this, all of his decisions he made during the time he lived on earth, but he was pure genetic stock.
You know, Steve,
he was pure genetic stock.
I have a question.
So that's why it's
I have a question on this, because you were talking about the giants sleeping with earth women and so forth, and we've got instances of this in the Bible where these entities sleep with our women. Is this why we have such strong prohibitions against fornication and adultery, so you don't sleep and reproduce the wrong kind?
Yeah, and also the best, that is part of it, because that's why God told the children of Israel to stay within their own tribes and not marry around, because everything around obviously, beyond Abraham's seed, have been corrupted and polluted by fallen angels, you know? And the thing is that God tried to, if you will, keep his people within the context not only of the faith that was delivered, Ten Commandments and the prophets. The thing is that he wanted them to keep their purity so that the impurity was God a racist? Absolutely not. He was a realist. He didn't want fallen angel mixing with humanity. And what we see now, by the way, that was a genetic prohibition, God's prohibition against bestiality, because of the genetic activity and, if you will, the life energy that he created Adam and Eve with. He created them to be eternal, and only through their rebellion, disobedience, etc., did that life force diminish. But that he was not going to allow the repeat of what had happened in the pre-Adamic earth, when even the Atlanteans were combining whatever entity of those beings were with animals, okay? And the thing is, the hybridization of the mythological monsters was usually somebody, a fallen angel, having sex with a earth woman and producing these monsters, so to speak. And they just didn't stick, Dave, with the human kingdom. They went after the animal kingdom. They went after everything, and because of the life force, and this is what most people understand, and giants have a combined DNA. They have a triple DNA, and this is a third, if you will, DNA strand, and that would be the supernatural strand. In my book, Xenogenesis, I spell that out really clearly. And so what people don't understand is that when we become Christians by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our DNA, our genetic makeup changes. We're no longer the seed of the first Adam, but of the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ. And he said, behold, I make all things new. And so one of the ideal, if you will, the ideals of the globalists, the Satanists, the Luciferians, is to find the DNA of the fallen angels' children. Because DNA is the ultimate storage mechanism. So let me just put it real simple. It's like, in essence, a bunch of fathers, in this case fallen angels, looking for the spirits of their children, the giants, who were slain in time before. Does that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense.
So they can re-inhabit those bodies and bring them forth genetically. So that, in my opinion, and by the way, we're seeing all kinds of that stuff now. Just in the last 2 days, the article of a new a bunch of cave drawings that were showing what they call superstitious beasts. But one thing that modern science is absolutely good at is accepting what they want to accept, and anything that infringes upon their predetermined outcome is challenged. And they automatically say, well, these are just, representations of mankind's mind. Well, what happens if they're not? What happens if they're real representation? Those are 45,000-year-old cave drawings. And same thing with Altamira, Spain, and Lascaux, France, when they're showing advanced star or constellations that they could not know exist beyond a heavenly perspective. Now, a lot of the stuff at Altamira and Lascaux are known constellations, but different places around the world have different manifestations of more constellations and more stars. I'm tracking right now, one of the projects I'm working on, which you're aware of, is that I am in association with really amazing men of God who are some of the brightest scientists in the world. We're taking all known symbolism of all the different glyphs and going through supercomputers. Look, I can't even work my cell phone, so this isn't me doing this. But the thing that's going to astonish everyone is that you're going to find out that these guys left their own Kilroy was here type signature on the earth and in its genetic makeup. And in essence, they're returning, and they're returning with a vengeance. And they see us, we humans, as the enemy, because we humans, how do I say this, are the ones that are saying these guys are not good. For instance, the Vatican will embrace the aliens as God. People said, well, I never believed that. Just look at how this contemporary pope, in my opinion, the false prophet, has already denigrated the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, this is an opinion. Even Catholics are furious. They're calling him the anti-pope. So what I want to make clear is this is not an anti-Christ statement.
No, it's not.
Or anti-Catholic statement.
No, it's not. Not at all. Nope. Steve, I've got relatives who are Catholic, and they are highly upset, and they say they pay attention to nothing the Pope says.
Yep. And that's critical, because, and I think it's important, Dave, because if the Pope is absolutely fulfilling the role in the meantime, or is the false prophet of the Book of Revelation, then the Antichrist, and I want to define the Antichrist. The Antichrist does not mean someone that openly comes about and claims, that Jesus is a bad guy. The devils have done their best to silence the churches, and even mentioning the name of Jesus is taboo. But what they're going to do is replace this, if you will, Satan-possessed. Satan only possessed two people in history that I know, at least in the New Testament, was Judas, and then the Book of Revelation is going to be obviously the Antichrist, but that means in place of Jesus. Or you could say this, the Antichrist is he who displaces Jesus. And Jesus made a powerful statement. He said, I came, and he's talking to the most religious people on the planet, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the wannabes, and the never will sees, okay? That's courtesy of SQ.
I like that.
The people that would never see. But he said this, he said, I came truly as the Messiah, and you receive me not. Another will come claiming to be me. That's the Antichrist in place of Jesus Christ, and him you will receive. And only at that point will God take the veils off of the eyes of all those who have been looking for, quote, a secondary Messiah, but refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Messiah. And that's what I have against, that's why I'm totally opposed to Talmudic Judaism, because they absolutely denigrate the Lord Jesus Christ. First John says any spirit that denies Jesus is Lord is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist, again, is the replacement. The people that are jumping up and down. So here's the alien, back in the aliens and back in the ancient stuff. All of the symbols, all of the pyramids, all of the ancient power sources, all of the ancient finds that we're finding, all the giant mummies, all the giants that even now people, like I said, I think I didn't finish my thought, is that the people all over the world now are seeing manifestations of everything from Bigfoot to orbs to flying velociraptors. That almost sounds like, you know, I've been doing something I shouldn't be doing, but it's not. All these things come independent and exclusive of me. I do not generate the reports. I simply report the reports. We watched Project Blue Book, which was supposed to answer, and I think there's a series on again this year, second year of it, but it was infiltrated by the Air Force to make sure no truth ever got out. That was the basis of the X-Files, too, both Scully and Mulder. And by the way, the X-Files, Chris Carter, you know, he did a fabulous job, and he you know, his overriding statement was they are out there, and he really wants to know. For all those people that really want to know, they're going to be in for the surprise of eternity. And the reason I do what I do in writing the books that I write is specifically to warn people of that which is coming so they're not deceived and they're not destroyed, and both in this life and in the life to come. I don't want anybody to miss the opportunity and the wonderful gift that Jesus answers. So when I say Jesus, just like you do, you get people, do you not, that say, Dave, I don't want to hear any of that God stuff. Just tell us what you know about the communists and the Russians. Is that true?
Yeah, I get that a lot. Yes, I do. I've been advised from a career standpoint to not talk about God. And I said, well, I can always find another career because I'm talking about God.
Yep. And that was, by the way, you know, I think you and Paul Martin are back on Johnstown, Colorado. I started there as a radio show, and I think in those days, somebody correct me, but I did 3 hours a day, okay? Boy, I must have had an ice cream cone on the forehead.
You were young.
The point is that, huh?
You were a young guy then.
Yeah, I was young. And I was so much younger than, you know, like the bird song, okay? Like the bird song. Hey, quail song. I just got one on myself. The thing that was important, though, here's what I said to the former owner of it. This guy's last name was Don Wiedemann. I think he was a Gentile that converted to Judaism. I'm not picking on either of that. But he said, you've got to shut up about Jesus. My instant response to him was, if the day you tell me I've got to quit talking about Jesus, I said, who do you think, Don, gives me the stuff that you want me on your show to talk about? And I said this, and Dave, it was true. I said, the day you tell me to quit talking about Jesus, those are in the days of Norm Resnick, I'm off your radio. He called me and said, you either talk or you're off. And I said, goodbye. And that's a true story.
Well, we left.
Told the same thing.
We left KHNC. We're going over to KYAH in Utah, run by a friend of mine, Michael Powers. And, a little more freedom, a little more professionalism. So, yeah, we've made that jump. Steve, one of the things I want to address, and I mentioned it very early on, you asked me about what has shocked me the most in the last 96 hours. It's actually a couple of things. One is let's put it this way. The infiltration of the fallen angels into our infrastructure, our hierarchy in our society. Can you address that a little bit and talk about what you know about that?
Well, sure. A majestic split, I was told by the general that headed the good guys, which was called the Magi.
Yeah.
For the record, the leadership in both Majestic and Magi, they split. The Magi are the good guys, the magicians are the bad guys. the infiltration by the fallen angels is the control of all the ancient and secret technology. They literally are in human form. That's why I just said at the beginning of the show, Dave, it's not the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They're nothing more than Luciferian puppets. Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil, but vanity in humanity is what gives the devil the control. People want power. But one thing he can't give them and hasn't been able to give them until now is eternal life. So I believe the most powerful people in the world are the silent guys behind the scenes, and I believe that they are fallen angels, and I call it an earth drag, okay? The fallen angels can take on the human external components. By the way, people say, well, how can angels have sex? Easy. If they can transform themselves not only into angels of light, but take on human form, then obviously in the taking on a human form, they've got the plumbing. You see, people use stupid statements, or the other one that's stupid is, well, Jesus said in heaven they're neither given or taken in marriage. Absolutely true, but are as the angels. But it wasn't the angels in heaven that were having sex with earth women. It's the ones that rebelled, because the whole point was to corrupt the seed of the righteous one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come to defeat the enemy. In essence, he was trying to use his time machine in the future to stop what he knew would be his ultimate demise. And the Bible even said, had the devil known what was going to happen when he thought he was calling Jesus, the very crucifixion of Jesus resulted in the resurrection of Jesus, and it resulted in his destruction forever. Now we're warned, as it happens to earth, the devil is coming down amongst us in physical form, and he's going to have great wrath because he knows his time is short. And Dave, look at how many times you've covered, I've covered, we've covered over the years, and others have. I'm just talking to you and being interviewed by you, but about the mark of the beast, the fighting over that. Now the technology of the beast is turning in the mark of the beast. The Pope is calling for a universal faith. He's calling for a universal economy, a universal government. You know, he's calling for everything that we knew would be the kingdom of the Antichrist in the last days. I don't think that's the fruit of he who's supposed to represent Jesus Christ. I think it's the obvious in-your-face evil fruit of he who's against Jesus Christ.
No, I totally agree with you. Yeah, the infiltration thing is pretty freaky to me. Just to think that I could be sitting next to someone who is straight out of Satan. One of the things I don't know if Steve
I think we need to make this point here. I think the reason why the globalists, okay, all of them basically are calling for the same thing. And I'd say this, and I can't prove it. Let me just say this. Suppose there was a technology that was like Roddy Piper and his sunglasses that could see aliens. But instead, that technology would allow you to electronically see the life force of fallen angels. Do you think they would want that technology out?
No,
of course not. Because I'm telling you, I believe the governors of the world, the princes of the powers, I believe the heads may have been duplicated, or they may have an earthly one, but if you will, a supernatural clone, right down to the mole on their chin. And cloning has been a feat that has been accomplished for the past probably minimum of 40 years. And I'm talking about not identical twins. I'm not talking about Joseph Mengele's twinning in South America. I'm talking about the reality base of cloning. And you know, Dave, it's my contention that AI, artificial intelligence, came from alien implants. Alien implants was the organic, if you will, the physical realm meeting with the spiritual realm, the soul of man being able to take them over. And the first movie to even deal with that, science fiction, was Invaders from Mars, the black and white version, I think in 1957. I could be off a couple of years. But the point that we need to get, and I want to directly make this, the whole world, if it's run by fallen angels in earth suits, in other words, manifesting as human beings, then you can understand how they all give their power unto the beast. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, and then
the United Nations is really nothing more than the United Alien Good Old Boys Club and Good Old Girls. By the way, they take on female form too. And I'm not talking about demons, evil spirits. I'm not talking about imps. I'm not talking about little creatures. And by the way, everybody who is calling me, emailing me, mostly emailing me, is having encounters with little creatures. That's a book that was written almost 10 years ago that's going to come into its own, I guess, in the next year in a big way, because people can't explain what they're having. I talked to a mutual friend of ours, a big guy, a tough guy, and he says, "Steve, last night I had two imps on my bed with teeth," and he said, "I wasn't dreaming, I was wide awake." Well, you know, if that happens to you, Dave, you're going to say, "Hey, guess what happened to me? That happened to me once, you know, when my wife was having surgery a couple of years ago for her hip, you know, and a torn whatever muscle." The thing is that I was in the hotel in Billings, Montana, and three evil spirits showed up at the end of my bed, and I rebuked them. They were hideous. They were different. And they, you know, I'm obviously, I think I was at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I had a digital clock in the room. But it bothered me. I rebuked them in Jesus' name, and they vanished, and I really did. I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, why did that happen, and what were those things?" And he said, "Those are three new forms of evil spirits that have been loosed on the earth." Isn't that interesting? So that happened to me a couple of years ago. But it's happening to people that are in. So, Dave, what happens? This will blow your mind, and it's directly answering your question. What happens if the ruler leaders that we think are human aren't? What happens if they are fallen angels? And I'm telling you this, I believe the majority of them are, or I believe they are such direct emissaries that, in essence, the fallen angels show up. By the way, Zachariah Sitchin, who is famous for his books, especially, you know, with the Anunnaki and his whole Sumerian legend of the Anunnaki being the aliens who created us, he literally told one of his wealthy billionaire friends, who we have on camera, and I think the Holocaust of Giants, it's in the Unholy Sea, that basically he has Anunnaki, a fallen angel, come to him and dictate him the history. And once that happened, the Catholic Church embraced Zachariah Sitchin, where at one point they had rejected him as a heretic. Interesting, huh? A literal fallen angel came and manifested before Zachariah Sitchin and gave him much of what was in, and that comes from his best friend.
It's amazing. I wanted to ask you one thing, because we're really getting short on time, and we're going to have to do a part two because we're just scratching the surface. But I was told by the grandson of a Hopi elder, this is valid, I talked to him for over a year, my friend Vance Davis, the NSA, very familiar with this. There are craft buried a couple of miles beneath the city of Phoenix that can only be accessed by certain biophysiology of the individual. And I've been told the fallen angels are trying to get their hands on it and crack the code. What do you know about this story? Do you know anything?
Well, first of all, there was an Outer Limits episode. I know quite a bit about it, and simply because in the, if you will, the biological control of many of these craft. One of those, and I forget which episode it was, the Outer Limits, but when the alien died, the, if you will, the government or the entities tried to get control of the craft, and they couldn't because the actual control of the craft was directly tied to the alien, okay? As long as it was alive, the craft worked. So it was a living thing. And by the way, many of the alien ships are, if you will, they're almost like external. They're almost like vegetable-like in the composition of their skin. When Ben Rich was the head of Skunk Works, he made the statement, you know, on his, I guess, on his retirement dinner when he was asked by a reporter, "How do these things fly?" And Ben Rich was like, "Well, and he talked about two points connect in the universe, blah, blah, blah." But the bottom line was, the reporter, when Ben Rich posed the question, well, he said, "How about telepathy?" And he said, "That's exactly how these things work." So you're talking about a neurochemical and, if you will, a supernatural tie between the biochemical processes and the supernatural power that can control these things. In essence, Dave, the aliens can morph into the ships, or they can morph into orbs, ORBS. And so you're seeing people see orbs all over. I have a friend in Mexico that's really being harassed by orbs, and a couple of them are manifesting before him. So, and that goes back to a Battlestar Galactica episode, literally, where Patrick McGoohan plays or played Lucifer, and the orbs were his fallen angel, if you will, warriors. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah, I did.
But he was dressed in the similar outfit like Obama wore when he was dressed in that shiny, silvery outfit of the Baphomet.
I got to share this with you before we go. My dad worked with this admiral's best friend. In fact, actually, his son, O.N.I., is one of the guys talking to me. They rewired the carrier Roosevelt to accept nuclear weapons. That was my dad's last classified project for the Navy before he went to civilian life and worked with the captured Germans. And he said that they were doing this going around Cape Horn. So there were no satellites then, so they didn't want the Russians to know what they're up to, so they went remote around South Africa. And he said as they made the turn, they started being followed four nights in a row by glowing orbs. And I asked my dad, when he was revealing all these things to me, I said to him, well, what do you think they were? He said, Satan. Real clear. He said, it was evil. I could sense it. Interesting you'd say the orbs.
Oh, your dad was telling the truth. Yeah, your dad was telling the truth, okay? Because they can manifest as angels of light. An angel's a messenger. And, you know, ball lightning, you know, there was a story on, I think, Strange Sounds or something about ball lightning, and it was a plasma. You see that blue plasma ball that was crossing the railroad tracks?
Yeah, I did. And you know what? We got time crossing our tracks, Steve. We're out of time. Will you come back next week and we can pick this up right here?
Sure, Dave, and thank you for having me on. Ladies and gentlemen, please go to Gen6, GENSIX.com, and sign up for the conference in July. I promise you it will blow your mind.
It will.
Because if I'm telling you it's blowing my mind, it's going to blow yours.
Steve, we're going to put a promo on our article. I'll send you up the interview in about 15 minutes. Thanks for being with us, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Quayle. Thanks, Steve. You guys have been treated to something fantastic. We'll be back with more.